The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Time to talk to Tex Mars. We get to do that once a month. I wish it was more often. He is incredibly busy. He is a remarkable man. And like most of you, and like yours truly, I have never, ever seen anything like what's going on now. If the mainstream media has not exposed itself to you as being the enemy of the people and the enemy of the nation and the enemy of the Constitution, and I mean a treasonous enemy, it never will. The media is trying to trick you, deceive you, disenfranchise you, and the very same can be said about the higher-ups in the RNC. They are treasonous, traitors, and criminals to the Constitution of America. There is no other way to view it. I have a video up of a black police officer who went to the Tucson, Arizona rally of Donald Trump. And he was expecting all kinds of negative things because he's been exposed to the horrible communist media in this country. Read the headlines, find the story. It's up near the top. Black officer. Listen to the man. Listen to how he describes the protesters who crashed the meeting, which was a private affair, an invitation-only affair. Donald Trump rented the hall. Remember, he's self-funded. And he describes things that he has never seen. Blacks acting beyond belief. Horrible people yelling and screaming in front of children and families. The F word, everything you can imagine. Blocking the door, trying to. This is not America. And for all the people out there, and there may be some listening, who don't yet understand that Donald Trump is our last hope for salvation, you better do some research, and you better read his platform positions, and you better understand what people around the man say of him. You're not seeing the real Trump in all of these sound bites. Fox, CNN, and the others, MSNBC, you're seeing lies. You're seeing tricks. You're seeing dirty tricks, deception, deceit. You're seeing fraud. The media is not your friend. It is the enemy of these formerly United States. It is evil. Tex, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm so glad to be back. And I was listening to your opening comment. I could not agree more. You know, it seems to me, you know, I when I was back in college many years ago, I took a number of courses on communism. I sort of specialized in that, you know, because, you know, that was when the communists still had the Soviet Union. It was before the 1980s. They started up a little bit and tore down their wall and all that. But I read at that time how the people of the Soviet Union, they had their media that told them exactly what they were to think, lied to them constantly. And, you know, the people, they developed this almost like a different system. They got their newspaper every day and they'd read it. And immediately they would not believe any of the stories. I mean, you know, and they would just laugh at each other and make jokes about the media. They all grew to recognize the media was their enemy. The media was run by the communists. The media would constantly lie about everything, and they didn't believe any of it. They didn't believe. And in America, imagine from the days of Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, and Americans, now we know that Walter Cronkite was a crumb. He was a member of the World Federalists, wanted a new world order. He was an idiot, you know. And it's incredible. We know that all of those people, Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, they were all communists. They were media, puppets, and they're all angry. They're angry because now we know people are going to go to Rents.com to read and get the news and find out what's really going on behind the scenes. They're going to get all the other alternative media online. And most of it, they don't even believe, you know. So people are much smarter now, and it's I'm praising God for that because, man, we're now. But interestingly enough, the media are so angry. The White House kind of people, the establishment, the Democrats, Republicans, they're so angry they cannot deceive anybody. And they don't understand why nothing works. They say, we've got the New York Times. Right. We've got the Los Angeles Times. We've got the Chicago Tribune. We've got the Washington Post. Why don't people believe them?
The free ride is over, Tex. The game is over.
It is. It's so amazing to me. People, you know, the troop people, they don't believe any of that stuff. I remember, I moved into a new home some years ago, and my next door neighbor, his wife, she was a real sweet lady, and she was one of those people who, you know, don't tell me anything bad. I don't want to hear anything but good news. And I've never said a bad word about anybody, you know, and so she was really being royally taken over. I mean, she was being, and her husband couldn't say a word. Oh, don't say that about that person. He's such a sweetheart, you know, whether it's Democrat or Republican. So imagine moving into next door to Tex Mars. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. You got a problem there. Yeah.
And it's interesting that we were neighbors about 3 years, and finally we went out to dinner one night together. She really was a precious lady, you know. But she said, you know, before you and Wanda moved in next door to us, she said, the whole world has changed now. I see now, you know, where we're at. And we're very critical time. It's incredible. It was like she's awakened. You know, she can't believe it. And it's just a few little things I would say, you know, here and there. And she would go back and ask her husband, can that be true? And can what Tex said be true? But of course it was true. It was all true. And haven't you got that in Rents.com also, Jeff? People write you and say, I used to think you were a nut. Nobody could be saying these things. How did you get away with it? And now they're writing back to you, aren't they, and saying, hey, thanks for informing us of all
there's
these things.
There's some very nice people writing. And way back when, a lot of people, they couldn't take it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't tolerate it. They couldn't entertain it. And it's all come home to roost, every bit of it.
You know, my own sister, of course, I don't see her that much. I'm not able to tell her the truth all the time. But she was a big George W. Bush fan.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yes. He's a Christian. He's a wonderful man. But by the time he'd been in 8 years, and without my influence, we don't even live together. But she said, you know, I just started seeing things that weren't true. And the guy, And now, of course, then she joined the Tea Party, and now she's a big Donald Trump fan, she and her husband. And she's had a metamorphosis, a change. And I think millions of Americans have had that same change, Jeff. I didn't do anything to convince her. I used to say stuff, and she would just laugh at me. You know, I would say, well, 9/11, you know, really wasn't done by 19 Arabs with towels on their heads. Oh, surely you don't believe in those conspiracy theories, Tex.
Gosh, yeah, wow.
But now she, boy, now, you know, she sees that it's all true. And so it's an amazing change about, but I'll tell you, they are so angry that they're having meetings all over Washington, D.C., all over this nation, trying to figure out how to deal, not just Donald Trump, but the people who support what he's doing. They know we're angry, but they thought, oh, well, and anger will subside. They'll get over it. It'll just be like a catharsis for them. You know, everybody will, you know, quit all this junk. We'll go back to the old rigmarole. We'll make our big millions, and everybody will be happy. The Republicans will, you know, love the Democrats and behind the scenes and all that. And now they're afraid they're going to be thrown out of office. I was seeing that even John McCain, you know, he's worried now that finally he may
really
be thrown out of office. He's,
well,
he's really fighting for his election.
Yeah. Well, that backlash of anger and rage against the establishment could transfer to him, and that could be the end of him. Yeah.
Now, the Republicans are saying, oh, this could be a very horrible election cycle for us. Well, yeah. Yeah, but if they nominate the same kind of people, well, yeah, it will be. We'll sweep in the Democrats, and then the next time we'll sweep them out. So if people will maintain the same level of concern and anger, and I think they will, Jeff, I really do. I think this is one of those pivotal moments in U.S. history where we either go under, we sink, and we end ourselves as a nation, or
correct.
We succeed.
Yeah. Well, we're at the crossroads. Yeah. No, this is it.
That's right. It is. And it's an amazing thing. But knowing that this crossroads was coming, Obama and all and Clinton and the Bushes, they all got together, and they've been working very hard. And they brought in, I was reading where there are 61, now they're saying officially, there are 61 million immigrants in America. Most of them were brought in legally. You know, here in Austin, Texas, imagine. This city here is, they call it the People's Republic of Austin. You know, in a conservative state like Texas, everybody here is liberal Democrat in Austin, Texas.
Wow. Where did you get the 61 million text? That's the highest I've ever heard.
Yeah, I don't know who the source is, but it was on Drudge Report, 61 million.
Wow.
They said that, let's see, 15 million, they claimed, were illegal immigrants.
Oh, no, that's way too conservative. It's much more than that. It's 40, 45 million.
I think the 61 million immigrants, period, I think that's too conservative because I'm in a high-tech city. This is, you know, the same as Silicon Valley. Maybe it is the new Silicon Valley, you know, Austin, Texas. And almost everybody here is from Pakistan, from India, from China. The University of Texas now has become a preserve of red China. And all of the student housing, you know, the houses that they used to get for married students,
sure.
Now you go there and there are people from Turkey, from Israel, from China, from Pakistan. So and go on campus and they're all talking foreign languages and such. And this is the University of Texas, Jeff. Paid for by our taxpayer dollars, and it's amazing. It's run for the benefit of these foreigners. Now, I don't object to them coming for American educations, but their countries ought to pay for it. And why should we, you know, give our university to them? It's an amazing. We have provided.
We shouldn't. This is absurd. This is a no-brainer. You've got to stop. We have to stop this country hemorrhaging its life's blood into people who don't care about us, who are simply here to parasitize us. It's got to stop.
It really you're right, it must. And I think it may be to a certain extent. But, you know, Jeff, they've got such a head start on us because they have deceived us for so long that they engineered ways to get these 61 million people here. And believe me, most of them are not coming across the border. Most of them are coming by airline. And they get these H-1B
H-1Bs. Yeah. They bring them over at 747s full from India. You know, they graduate more PhDs in India, more PhDs in India every year that our entire university system in this country graduates bachelor's of arts candidates.
And they all want to come to the United States and work. I met this man and his wife. One and I were out one night and buying some things for the house, and I ran into this guy, and he was a nice enough guy. You know, you don't want to. They're already here. You don't want to treat them bad, but you know, they should not have been able to come. But he and his wife, you know, met us, and I could tell he was from India or somewhere. Come to find out, he was from India, and he was very pleasant. And I asked him how he liked America and all that, and then I asked him his name. His name was Thomas Jefferson, and his wife's name was Martha. And I said, "Well, how did you get those names?" He says, "Well, when we came to America, you know, we got our names officially changed because we want to be good Americans." Now, I think he was telling them, the guy's name is Thomas Jefferson, but it's very rare because most of them, you're right, they come over here only for the money. This guy was an exception, unfortunately. I mean, actually called himself the Jeffersons, you know, and it was sort of interesting to me and Wanda, but. It's here he was, you know, and the reason he had come, he had a very fine job. I think he was making probably, I'm just guessing, but he's probably making about 90 or 100,000 a year working for one of the high tech companies. But if they hadn't paid an expert American, they probably had to pay 150 or maybe even 200. So he was working cut rate, but he was happy. You know, he had never had such income in his whole life. And doctors are the same way, nurses. We have hospitals here in Austin. The nurses can't even speak English. I mean, you know, the whole hospital is
full. How can they perform?
Oh, and other nurses, you know.
Lord.
And it's amazing that we have actually closed up nursing colleges throughout America. Huh. It's harder if a person wants to become a nurse to become one because they're all closed down. Because we were bringing in so many foreign nurses that these universities that we haven't got any students, but boy, they pay nurses incredible salaries now. You may be surprised to find out what your nurse is getting just for bringing you food and everything when you're in the hospital and helping out. But you know, the whole thing is Donald Trump seems to be a different character, and I'm amazed that he is. He's a perceptive person. And he is just set back. He's been a showman, no doubt about it. He's a showman, and everybody just thought, well, you know, he's an ingenious, brilliant showman, and he's a very crafty businessman making these billions. Yeah, he's all right. He's a good guy. That's what the establishment thought. They never thought he would become a politician and start saying the things he's saying, and pledging to do. And boy, they're angry at that guy. They're basically saying, we made you what you are. You know, we made you a star, and now you're going to, you know, go against us. How could you do that? Well, you know, he's on a roll right now, and they can't. They just don't accept the fact that Americans, are going to vote for this guy. But everywhere I go, of course, I don't go to the black neighborhoods. That's true. I don't go to many Latino neighborhoods. But everybody, I don't know of anybody who's not voting for Trump. Sometimes they're sort of like they're embarrassed. You know, yeah, I'm a Trump person. But others are very hardcore about it. You know, it's time to change America. I'm for Trump. And it's almost incredible, and they're going to have to rig this election in a big, big way to defeat Trump, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of debate about whether or not he can garner the necessary delegates. And then you hear the RNC say that, well, it doesn't matter what the public vote says. The delegates are not bound. They can vote for whoever they want to. We need to get rid of this arcane, antiquated, ridiculous electoral college. It's absolutely un-American. It's undemocratic. It's not the will of the people. It's corrupted. It's perverted. And it's got to stop. Got to stop.
Yeah, they say Trump has, he doesn't have anything at all except the votes. Have you heard that one?
Wait, that's one of the most stupid, lame brain, insulted things I've ever seen. What an insult.
What an insult. Why allow this guy to be our nominee for president? All he's got is votes. That they're really condescending, and they're really, that's what they think of we, the little people. They think we're just jerks, that we don't know any better. And you know, like just like John Boehner, the guy was a paid-off lobbyist working as a House Speaker. So it became plain that he couldn't do his job. He was an alcoholic and a nut, and was doing everything Obama wanted. So he had to get out. They had to get him out of there. So they gave us somebody worse. And they thought, well, this guy ran for vice president, Ryan.
Yeah.
He ran for vice president under Mitt Romney. The people will like him.
No. He's worse. You're right. He's worse. He's evil. Bad.
He's evil. Very evil. And people don't want him at all. And he's caused a total lack of respect for the office. And they don't know why. And then the guy gets up and says, I might run for president. He might. Well, you know, it's laughable. I mean, how many votes is that guy going to get? None. Well, he will get, of course, the establishment's votes. That's not many. But I'll tell you, Jeff, they've got it arranged. Now they're in many places, they're demanding that illegal aliens be allowed to vote. I mean, everywhere, they don't want you to have to show ID. Well, that's terrible.
Right.
Why should you show ID? Why can't you just go down and vote? So this is what they're trying to push on us, so that they can get all these illegals out to vote, you know, as they used to say, and it's still really true. I've seen it so often. You know, vote early and vote often.
It's an old line. Very, very, very true, very funny, very
really
tragic.
Funny.
Juan
Gomez, and I'm sorry for using the name, I'm just making up that name. If he goes down and votes, and, you know, let's say Precinct 6, why shouldn't he vote 30 minutes later in Precinct 7? And then 30 minutes later in Precinct 8?
Mm-hmm. Because he can.
He doesn't have any ID card, but that's okay. You know, let me vote.
Yeah.
And you know, there's in some of these little houses in East Austin, there's 20 or 30 Mexican workers living there.
Right.
And each one could vote 5 or 6 times. And so you've got millions of votes potential there for Hillary Clinton.
That's right. We either take America back now and make it great, or we are end. As will be a historical addendum at some point. It's over. We got to stop. We got to turn it around. Tex and I'll be right back in just a few minutes. Hold on. Tex Mars. Tex, a question. Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, Mr. Trump in that book laid out a lot of interesting things. Are we looking at a possible deal? Could he, being the bargainer he is, make a deal? Now, he doesn't like Cruz. The establishment doesn't like Cruz. But if he were to promise Cruz, who is a generally speaking, a conservative, a position on the Supreme Court, for example, in exchange for his delegate support, what would take it out of the hands of the establishment?
That would be very interesting. And now Cruz, I know, is a establishment guy. I mean,
he is, clone, but they don't like him. They don't like him.
Well, they don't, but they know that he's establishment.
He's a Goldman boy. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Goldman boy and the Council on Foreign Relations guy and all that. But he is conservative. You're right. And I don't think he would try to undo Trump,
I just threw that out there for discussion. I mean, Trump is a deal maker, and we have to think that his mind is working 24 hours a day on making deals. How can I make a deal? And I read a story that I posted yesterday. I don't get to read all of them, but I read this one. It had to do with a number of states, Tennessee, Alabama, I think, where the Trump and Cruz supporters were finding all kinds of common ground. And they were saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are we fighting when we can have part of our way? We can make a deal. And this was being talked about.
Now that would be probably a great thing. Vice presidents don't do very much.
No.
I remember Vice President Garner under FDR was asked, what is the value of being vice president? And pardon his expression, but he said, it's about worth a pitcher of warm spit. They don't do anything at all. They're just there just in case the president gets killed. Mm-hmm. He might do that and take all of Cruz's delegates by promising him you'll be vice president, and the first you'll be the nominee,
and you'll go to the Supreme Court the first opening. Yeah.
I'll make you vice president. You'll be vice president and Supreme Court justice. Or he might say, give me your delegates, and I'll put you on the Supreme Court right away. I mean, Scalia died. Now there's an opening. So why wouldn't a deal maker do that? You know, I think a deal maker like him, they must think differently than you and I.
I agree.
We have certain principles. We just wouldn't give up. We would be hard nosed and stick to it. And you're more flexible than I am, Jeff. I guess I am stubborn. But I don't think he's stubborn at all. That's why he told Israel, I'm going to go in there and try to make a deal between you and the Palestinians.
Yeah.
They don't want a deal. They want it all. And if they could get away with the world opinion, they'd go in and massacre every single Palestinian.
Yesterday, you bet.
But he says, we're going to make a deal here. And I think once he's president, and he told that, remember that Israel meeting he went to? I know he spoke to AIPAC tonight, but he went earlier about 6 months ago and he told them, I'm going to find out who's willing to make a deal. You are the Palestinians. They didn't like that.
No.
They have been hiding the fact that they have been claiming want peace for all these years, but their own founding fathers, David Ben-Gurion and others in Israel, have always written. I mean, I can show you their written statements that tell you this is propaganda. We don't want peace. We want war. We want to kill. We want to root out every Palestinian and kick them out of here. God has given us the land. We're God's chosen people. We're intended to become God's own earth. And the Palestinians are like beasts. They're like insects. That's what they actually say. I have a number of books coming up, Jeff. These books, I'm taking the Palestinians at their word. Jews at their word, and that word is terrible. So he said, I'm going to be fair and arbitrate. They don't want arbitration. My goodness gracious. If he does that, he will probably end up exposing the Jews as obstacles to peace in the Middle East.
I think he already has, in a de facto sense. It's pretty damn close.
It's interesting. If he came out right away and told the people what he really thought of Israel, boy.
He really thought about 9/11. He knows what happened in 9/11, but he can't say it. He knows.
No, he got real close when he said that Bush lied. Oh, there was an uproar about that. But he knows that Bush lied. Bush did more than lie. And Cheney engineered the whole war and ended up with killing probably a million people over there.
Correct. Oh, and no, more than that. Oh, no. It's 2 to 3. And if you add in Afghanistan, it's 5 to 6. It's a Holocaust.
It's incredible. And that's what's caused all of this world movement. As Angela Davis, the former communist, she's actually still a communist, she says the communist movement has more to Memphis, has changed. She said because, people, need to be basically propagandized. But she says the asylum, the migrant movement, has now become the issue for the 21st century. Mm-hmm. That's what Angela Davis says. And that's what she's doing full time. She's aiding the migrants to come across from the Middle East. So we bomb all their cities and towns and kill all of them. We create, sponsor ISIS. And then they cause all these people to go across Greece and Turkey and so forth and go into Europe and the United States. And they want to do that. They want to destroy our civilizations. And, of course, the Democrats and Republicans are more than happy. They're going to live in their Ivy League towers, their multimillion-dollar gated communities and behind their homes. They're going to go on their jet-set trips and all that. Regardless, they see us as peons and little people. And they don't care if America... they don't read the books and say, thank God for our founders. They say, oh, those barbaric founders, we're going to give the world a new world order. It's going to be, everybody's going to be one, except for them, of course. They're just like, the animal farm.
Right.
The pig says, everyone's equal. We're just, we're first among equals. The thing is, they get Trump constantly. For example, I was listening to Megyn Kelly tonight, Jeff.
Oh.
The lovely Megyn Kelly.
Yeah. Home.
And they were making fun because Trump had said, he came out with a new statement, what do we need NATO for? It's been 70 years.
God, I was so glad to see that. He's got such courage and common sense.
Exactly. And that infuriated all these neocons, all these people. And so he said, we're spending $200 billion dollars a year for NATO.
That's the Rothschilds' private army, for God's sakes.
And they said, oh, we're not spending, we don't spend a penny. They had people, these neocons, they said, we don't spend any money on NATO. Well, what they're referring to is we've already spent billions on those military bases and installations. And we would bring those home, and probably we would get by with about half the military people we have. Now, I say that. I'm a retired Air Force officer.
Right.
I spent 2 years in Germany, a year in Italy. I was over in all over Asia, in Japan, Okinawa, the Philippines. Uh-huh. 2 years in Thailand. And I'll tell you, I'm sort of like Smedley Butler. Remember him, the Marine general?
You bet.
He wrote that book. What was it?
War is a racket. Yeah.
Well, war is a racket. And I saw that with my own eyes. And, I was East Texas, a little boy, went in the military, became an officer, and, very patriotic. I saw how much money we wasted. We went to Thailand. We opened up 7 big military bases. I mean, imagine. They're like little cities.
Yeah.
All these buildings, dormitories, even the base chapel, the dining halls, and then this huge airport with all the big hangars and all that. It took me, you know, some of the bases I was at in the Philippines, it took you 40 minutes to drive across the base. It was so
gigantic. Wow.
We hired 30 or 40,000 Filipinos worked there.
Wow.
And so the thing about it is, I often said to myself, you know, well, when I was in Germany, you know, we had this Wiesbaden air base there. It was, uh-huh. It had a big army base next door to it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, if the Americans left today, would the Germans be taken over by somebody? No way. But you see, they didn't need a military. They didn't need to spend all their money. They could keep building the, you know, the Mercedes and the, all of their big cars and all, selling to the whole world. And we would do all the slaving away. We were like mercenaries.
That's right. Yeah.
And I thought, you know, Germany is not going to allow anybody to overtake them. They're going to have a military, but they didn't need one. They had the U.S. military. And I thought how unfair. We have bases all over Germany today. We have hospitals. I mean, military hospitals everywhere. And it's just an incredible thing. And we're still building military installations throughout the Middle East.
No, all that money needs to come home.
We have the, listen to this, we have the largest U.S. embassy in the world, and guess where it's at?
It's in Baghdad.
Baghdad? We spent billions to build this gigantic embassy.
We used what Saddam had built, tremendous underground facilities there.
Oh, my goodness, and it's gigantic, it's behind walls, and I think we put that there for a purpose. We're going to allow Israel to run their new world order and take over all of the Middle
East. It could
East.
Be their new headquarters, yeah.
New headquarters, it really is. And imagine, there's a country of only, they had at the time, like 22 million people.
Yeah.
And we go there and build the largest U.S. embassy in the world.
Yeah.
It's not in Russia. It's not in China. It's not in Britain or France.
Well, it's to administer the entire Middle East under the rubric of Greater Israel.
If people only knew that we have the largest embassy there, what for? And that's why, by the way, we've never allowed ISIS or anybody to take over Baghdad, because we've got our all of our infrastructure
Correct.
There.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's sort of what we're doing. But here's one thing that I would really love to tell your audience about tonight. They lie to us and say, oh, we're not spending any money for NATO. They're just a bunch of liars, and we don't need NATO. I was in Japan, and I went down to Tokyo, and I looked at all those bright lights and those huge buildings, and it looked like something out of, Tomorrow City. I mean, it's like 21st century.
Wow.
And I said to myself, what are we doing here, the U.S. Air Force, spending billions of dollars here in Japan? And these Japanese, they don't need any military. They've got us, and it's amazing. It's been 70 years since World War II ended, and we don't even make them pay us for defending them. We're just there. And listen, do you think Japan is going to let anybody pick on them or attack them if we left? No, they would say, well, we don't have the Americans anymore. We've got to be strong, and they would build up their military. So really, we're oppressing those people. We're keeping them like pygmies. But meanwhile, they love it. You know, all of their Japanese corporations still go wild and sell to Americans.
Right.
But here's another thing that really galls me. Are you aware that we spent over $200 million to build a Social Security Administration headquarters building in Mexico City?
No.
Yes, that's right. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul exposed that fact. Now, we went over and spent $200 million to build a building. Why would we need that building in Mexico City? Well, it's to process all those checks for the millions of Mexicans that are
right.
there that are getting Social Security checks. And let me tell you about this scam. Let's go back to Juan Gomez
mm-hmm.
or Jose Gonzalez. It doesn't matter. He comes to America as an illegal alien. And he goes to work, and he pays Social Security. He gets a Social Security card, and he pays into Social Security. Now he pays in for, what do you need, I forget how many quarters. I think they have less, but he starts off, he goes down, he registers as Jose Gonzalez. And then when he gets a minimum time on that name, then he goes down and registers as Juan Gomez. Then he registers as Luis Gutierrez. And he can spend a working life in America and be five different people and spend the minimum time on Social Security. Now, where are these five people? They're all getting Social Security checks. Well, where are they sent to? Well, Guadalajara, Veracruz, Mexico City. That's where they're sent to, his uncle, his cousin, his brother, his aunt, whoever. And they're all, they've never even been to America. They've never worked in America. But he went down and said, I am that person. They had no reason to doubt him. He didn't have any papers. They don't require birth certificates. They, you know, this is the amazing thing, is we are paying people over and over and over again on Social Security. Now, this is called, I think, what is it, collateralization? Now we pay people from all over the world who came here and worked for the minimum amount of time. I think it's 4 years, 40 quarters, or man, that'd be 10 years. But in any case, whatever it is, and I don't know the Social Security Administration rules, but I do know that it's an amazing thing that you just go down and become another person. And who knows? So all these people, they're getting Social Security for everybody back in their home village or hometown. And that is why Social Security is about to be busted. Meanwhile, the American man and woman, the laborers, have trudged along and for 65 or 70 years worked their hearts out. And there's no more Social Security money left. They said, well, we're going to have to cut your Social Security. I think that's why Donald Trump said, I am not cutting people's Social Security and Medicare. They deserve it. They do. But we should not be giving all these foreigners Social Security and Medicare.
You people better pay attention. You will not have any Social Security. It will be looted, period. Gone. Now, here's one. The lead organizer who ran the roadway blocking effort in front of the Trump rally is a George Soros fellow from New Orleans. I don't mean male, I mean a fellow, like an honorary academic position, a fellow, a Soros fellow. It's all proven. This guy Soros is causing this. And they only had about three cars and about a dozen and a half people. That was it. The rest were taking pictures. If you look at this thing, a handful of people, look at the news coverage. Look at the coverage. This is amazing.
It really is. And well, all of these, they say hundreds of little bitty organizations he's founded. George Soros is not even an American.
No.
What does he spend on? Why don't we confiscate all of his billions of dollars in American banks?
That's a good idea.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We can shut him down.
Well, he's an external threat to the country, period.
Well, he is, but he's, you know, where is he originating from? Hungary. Now he's, you know, from anywhere.
He's Canada.
Yeah, exactly. But he'll probably retire in Israel. You know, all the crooks.
Oh, they all do.
We don't have an extradition.
No.
That's
right.
You know, there's a man named Shlomo Morel who's living in Israel now, unless he's died recently. Mm-hmm. After World War II, Shlomo Morel was a young Jew, and he was from communist Poland, and he never was in a concentration camp or anything like that. But they put him in charge of a concentration camp after World War II. Now, see, most people don't know, but, you know, there were concentration camps. They continued to run after the war. And Russia put Jews in charge of all of theirs in their area, their area of the world.
Right.
So Shlomo Morel became the commandant of a concentration camp. Who were the victims? All of the German men, women, and children were brought in there.
Yeah.
And there they were tortured. They were bludgeoned.
Horrible.
They were
horrible.
Murdered.
It's and a true genocide.
He took a stool.
Yeah.
And he blasted a little baby with it. He took a baby by its legs and slammed it up against the wall.
These people are monsters. They're not human. They're inhuman.
They're not. And now I wrote about this in my book, a conspiracy of the six-pointed star. Uh-huh. And I gave the picture of Shlomo Morel. And by the way, he was actually exposed by a Jewish man in a book called An Eye for an Eye. Jonathan Sack, a Jewish newsman, he couldn't believe when he found out that all these camps were run by Jews after World War II. Victims were Germans.
Yep.
We herded all these Germans, and most of them, I mean, they were just housewives and old men and little kids, and murdered most of them.
They killed Germans from 1945 to 1953, Tex, anywhere from 8 to 10 million. Nobody knows for sure. They killed the flower of what was remaining of nationalist Germany.
It's incredible. And now Shlomo Morel... Poland, you know, the communists lost face there, it became a sort of a democratic country, 1984, 85, somewhere around there. And then they began to go out and look to see who did these horrible things. And Shlomo Morel, all the witnesses said it was Shlomo Morel. He was the commandant.
Wow.
A Jew. And so a prosecutor there indicted Shlomo Morel for mass murder.
And did the prosecutor live much longer?
Yes, he did. In fact, he did. And it's amazing. He said, we're gonna take care of this. And he did. But amazingly, Shlomo Morel immediately fled the country. He fled the country, and now he's living in Israel. In fact, I saw a TV documentary, and they tracked Shlomo Morel down. He's living in a fancy condo in Tel Aviv, and they went up to him and said, "You're Shlomo Morel. You're a monster." And of course, he very quickly scurried off. Now, the Israeli government is hiding this guy. They refuse to extradite him. Now, you know, Shlomo Morel finally said to one cameraman on the phone, he wouldn't come out. He said, "I don't know why they're trying to get me after all these years.
I'm so innocent.
Why do they keep hounding me after all of these years?"
They're hounding me.
Victim. But here's the amazing thing. What about Demyanyuk?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
poor auto worker from Detroit.
We have an office in the Justice Department that specializes in still going out and looking for commandants or for little bitty guards.
And every year, let's not forget, there are more Holocaust survivors every year. Some of them aren't even old enough to have been born before the war ended. It's a scam.
That's true. They all get money. And by the way, Shlomo Morel told many of his victims, he said, "My whole family perished in the Holocaust."
Oh, right.
"Doing this to you Germans, you deserve it. My whole family perished." Turns out that he lost no one in the Holocaust. He was lying. His family never was in the Holocaust. He was always in the communist areas. So he was just a liar. But that's what he told his victims. "My family perished." But of course, that wasn't.
I'm so sick of it. A lot of people are, and a lot of good Jewish people are sick of it. They know the scam. They know the lies, and it makes them all look bad. And they're being sacrificed. It's all horrible. It's all beyond belief. And it's been going on for a long time. That's one lesson we should take from this. This is not new. It's been going on for decades, since the coup d'état and the murder of John Kennedy, done in broad daylight so everybody could see what'll happen to you if you don't play ball. It's just horrible.
That's right. You know, I had an article in the Jewish Journal.
We're running out of time, Tex, so go ahead and wrap it up.
All right. Well, it's been a great being on your program. And
thank you.
Next time we'll talk about that Jewish Journal article.
Yeah, let's do. All right.
LBJ had something to do with, the assassination of JFK, and that Israel was involved.
Next,
it was in a little local Jewish journal.
Next Tuesday, David John Oates, Dick Allgaier, and Jim Mars will be here to do a three-hour program on the JFK assassination in terms of reverse speech. David John Oates has had more astounding reverse speech discoveries in the last couple of weeks than he has ever. He said he has cracked the entire case, and it lines right up with Jim Marr's research. He's got the reversals, the forward and the back. He's going to play them all next Tuesday night. This is going to be an historic program.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's great fun to expose these evildoers.
Oh, it is. It is. That's best thing we can do.
I get from that. And upholding the little people. I call them the little people. We're not so little anymore. But, I just encourage people to keep watch out. Make sure that the polls aren't rigged in your area, because they're going to try everything they can to stop Donald Trump. And really, you're right. He's our only hope.
This is it.
Of course, you know, I'm a Christian. And even if he fails us, I'm going to have faith. But still, right now, he's it.
He's it. Thank you, Tex, as always. Look forward to next month.
Hey,
we can
so
do this more often if you're available, you know. Just let me know.
All right, I sure will.
Okay.
I sure will.
Thank you, Tex.
Mr. Oates and my good friend Jim Mars.
Next Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, night. Okay, be right back with Hour 2 next.